Jesus often operated in the in-between. He upset the expected order of things all the time. Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is the story of Jesus' visit with two sisters, Mary and Martha. You may remember the sisters from Jesus' visit with them in the Gospel of John and from the story of Jesus raising their brother Lazarus from the dead. In this story, in Luke, it is only the sisters. So listen for God's word to you in this story of Martha and Mary. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Sibling rivalry. Cartoonist Charles Schulz understood and illustrated sibling rivalry beautifully in his Peanuts cartoons. You may remember that his character Lucy was the dominant older sister and Linus her despised younger brother. Everything that Linus did was embarrassing and irritating to Lucy, and she constantly let him know that he was a thorn in her side. In 1959, Schulz published this exchange between the siblings. And here's a little background to this cartoon. The incident occurred just after the happy birth of Charlie Brown's younger sister, Sally. So in the first frame, we see Charlie Brown talking to Lucy. Linus stands between them. He's sucking his thumb and holding his security blanket against his face. Lucy says, "You're really lucky, Charlie Brown. All my life I wanted a baby sister, but what did I get? I got this stupid thing." There's total silence after Lucy's declaration. Charlie Brown and Linus look helplessly at each other as Lucy stalks off. Her arms are pressed tightly to her sides and her hands are clenched into fists. In the last frame, Charlie Brown looks straight at the audience for the first time, while Linus turns to follow Lucy. His thumb is out of his mouth, finally, and the blanket falling to the ground as he shouts, "Define, stupid thing!" Schulz perfectly captured the dynamics of sibling rivalry with Linus and Lucy, the way that siblings enrage each other with their very presence and love each other still. Scripture is full of these stories. Mary and Martha, obviously, but also Leah and Rachel, Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and so many more. At least on the surface, the story of the conflict between Martha and Mary seems to be a bit of sibling rivalry. Now, I have always assumed that Martha was the oldest daughter, because as an oldest daughter myself, I recognize her. She was in charge of the house, in charge of hosting Jesus and his entourage. And let's keep that in mind. Jesus did not come alone. He traveled with 12 disciples, plus the women who followed and financially supported his ministry, as well as any new acolytes who joined along the way, and maybe even family members of any of these people. So there was a crowd at Martha's house that night, and in a culture in which hospitality was serious business, she was the host. She felt all alone, and she began to resent it. Martha has long been the villain in this story. Men, maybe you've never heard this question. But women, if you've been in the church for a while, you've probably heard a sermon or studied this story in Sunday school and been asked, are you a Mary or a Martha? The implication is clear and the judgment is real. Mary was the good one and Martha was the bad one. In her defense, Martha was taking care of business. She was making sure there was a meal prepared that night so she could feed all these hungry guests. She ensured there were enough beds with clean sheets for everyone. She made sure there was water to wash the travelers' dirty feet, and she found places to store their belongings. Her job was to make sure that everyone was comfortable and had what they needed to make their stay a pleasant one. No wonder she was busy and overwhelmed, and she just wanted her sister to help her. Can you understand and identify with Martha? And then there's Mary. The author made it clear from the beginning of the story that as soon as Jesus arrived, Mary sat down to listen to what he was saying. In fact, Luke wrote that Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Disciples sat at their teacher's feet. Mary was clearly a disciple, and Jesus was no ordinary teacher. He was the Lord who had set his face toward Jerusalem, the Lord who repeatedly told his disciples that this was his final journey. The time was rare and special, and Mary wanted to soak up as much of Jesus' presence as she could and learn as much as possible in her brief time with him. It seems likely that she didn't want to waste a precious minute of this visit working in the kitchen. So can you understand and identify with Mary? When Martha reached a boiling point, she asked Jesus to intervene. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. 2,000 years later, it still sounds whiny and immature and more than a little passive-aggressive. Tell her to help me. I like Martha, and I'm embarrassed for her. Why couldn't she speak to her sister directly, pull her aside and ask for what she needed, rather than bringing Jesus into it? Well, Jesus refused to get triangulated. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. So, in fact, Jesus' reply set Martha up to be the villain in this story, especially because the English translation says that Mary chose the better part. It sounds like Mary made the good choice while Martha made the bad choice. And all of this seems dismissive and patronizing of work that traditionally belongs to women, at least until we consider things from a different angle. Luke wrote in verse 40 that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. The English word tasks in Greek is diakoneo, from which we get the word deacon. Diakoneo is the work of deacons. It means ministry or service. Martha was engaged in the work of a deacon. She was performing the tasks of ministry, serving Jesus and his followers. If we see Martha as a deacon, perhaps the leader of a house church, it changes our perspective on her. It makes her a much more sympathetic character, and perhaps it helps us better understand what Jesus was trying to say to her and to us. Remember, last week we studied the story of the Good Samaritan, in which a man was robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the side of the road. And two religious leaders passed by, failing to stop and help. The most unexpected character in the story, the Samaritan, who was a social outcast in Jewish culture, stopped to help. Jesus' point was that in showing mercy, the Samaritan was a true neighbor. The Samaritan was the hero of the story for doing something, for loving God by loving the stranger. In this story of Mary and Martha, which immediately follows the Good Samaritan, Jesus seemed to say the opposite. Jesus wanted Martha to stop, to listen, and to learn. Maybe this story is about mistaken priorities. It's not that Martha was bad or wrong. It's that she was focused on the details, so focused that she missed the bigger picture. The Lord was in her house. Jesus was speaking in her living room, and she was so busy in the kitchen that she almost missed it. Maybe this is not an either-or situation. After all, there is room for both faith and works in our life with God. Scripture tells us over and over that we cannot have one without the other. The two are intertwined. In my previous call, we took a group of junior and senior high age young people to summer camp in northern New Mexico. And one day we left the Presbyterian Conference Center and took a field trip to Christ in the Desert Monastery in Abiquiu, New Mexico. Christ in the Desert is a Benedictine monastery, meaning the monks follow the rule of Saint Benedict. They welcome guests, they work, and they pray the hours. One of the monks gave us a tour of the monastery, and he spent a lot of time answering our questions and teaching us about monastic life. He told us that life at the monastery is centered on two things, ora et labora. This is a Latin phrase that means prayer and work. The monks center their lives around prayer and work. The Christian life requires both. Prayer and work, action and contemplation, faith and works. And if we lean too far to one side, the balance is off. If Mary was only to sit at Jesus' feet listening to him and never acted on his teachings, she might come to resemble the priest and the scribe who lost sight of their duty to love their neighbor, passing by the injured man in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if Martha was only to work and never stop to pray, she might lose sight of the larger purpose for her hard work, fail to grow spiritually, and become increasingly angry and resentful at the burden she carried. So perhaps balance is the point of this story. The balance between faith and works that Jesus encouraged the sisters to find is also the balance we must find. This is true not only in our personal lives with God, but also in our community life with God. We are the body of Christ. The body depends on each member to bring their gifts to the table so that the body is strong and healthy in both faith and works. This is difficult to find at any time, but I think particularly right now. We bounce from one crazy news story to another, outraged and fearful much of the time, anxious and worried about the present, much less the future. We are anything but balanced. And perhaps it is in the slowing down, in taking time to listen for God, in study and learning about our faith, that prepares us for acting out our faith. Faith and works go together. The Reverend Sarah Speed wrote about Mary and Martha finding that balance in a poem called Wildfire. She writes, "I can picture it, salty sweat accumulating in her bangs, the scent of toasted sesame seeds, crushed oregano, sumac, and cumin, flour on her hands, painting streaks of white in her hair when she ties it back. The sweet date she samples, the way it stretches and clings to the back of her teeth, leaving the taste of honey in her mouth. I can picture Martha in that kitchen, plating meals, eager to see their eyes close, their heads nod, to hear the swell of approval that rises from their lips. And I can picture her sister, brows scrunched, fingers fidgeting, wishing for a pen, for paper, for a way to write it down. I can see her mouth part like a fish in the air, questions forming and reforming on her curious lips. I can see her lean in, knees tucked, eyes bright. I can see her imagining the world he dreamed of. And I can picture how, for generations, this story of two brazen women in Scripture, a story of two women so close to Jesus, may have felt like an untamed wildfire. I can picture the way we put these women in boxes. I can picture how people saw their full hearts, their untamed energy, and decided to label that as good and bad, better and worse. I can imagine how Martha's questions were interpreted as nagging or the interruption interpreted as needy. I can picture how it happened. But what if it was all more beautiful than that? What if these sisters discovered a ministry of cooking? What if they discovered the faithfulness of learning, the kind of friendship that allows you to ask questions or something in between? I can imagine it. Can you? Amen.